Father's Day. Father's Day is all in the bag. All right, first, let me just tell you the story. There's a story of a young boy. Very angry at me, and the farmer said, "Not." Yeah, he was angry. Amen. Father's Day, it's all in the bag. You know, let me just tell you, I've been, you know, we biggest things. distract you in order to keep you off balance. Amen. So think about this. All the people in your life that God has put in your life, and think about the people down the road because of what you've done and because you have decided to keep that delicate balance, the difference you're going to make in people's lives. I happen to read about a very famous person. Y'all remember this guy? Who's the guy that only had one ear? He cut his ear off to show his love for his wife. Who was the artist? Van Gogh. Van Gogh cut his ear off. That'd be kind of crazy. Unless he just got tired of hearing her, and so he just cut his ear off. Okay. But you know, Van Gogh, he had a long line, a long, long, long line of people that came after him that made a difference. And so I just thought I would just try to go through history and let you see what the difference one father can make. Okay. So here's Van Gogh, and it's the family tree of Vincent Van Gogh. All right. First, there was his dizzy aunt. Her name was Vertigo. His brother who ate prunes, gotta go. The brother who worked at a convenience store, his name was Stop and Go. The grandfather from Yugoslavia, his name was Hugo. His magician uncle, where did ballroom dancing aunt, Tango. The bird lover uncle, his name was Flamingo. The fruit-loving cousin, his name was Mango. An aunt who taught positive thinking, way to go. A little bouncy nephew, Pogo. A sister who loved disco, she was Go-Go. And a niece who traveled the country in an RV, her name was Winnie Bago. Cece, you never know what line that you're leaving and the changes that you're making. I thought it'd be a little funny right then, but I'm getting ready to get serious. I know when I say that you go, oh no, here we go again. But no, this time I really am. I really am going to get serious if I can find my paperwork. That's always bad too when you can't find your paperwork. God is so good. Linda told me last night, she said, what are you looking for? I said, the paper I just printed. She said, have you thought about going looking on the printer? Amen. Pray for her too, because she's having that, I reckon you call it rebound or whatever it's called, but it's hit her again, and she's got a fever and coughing and really congested. And so remember her in prayer. And we're still trying to take care of my mother-in-law. And so it's just been one big, fat, hairy ordeal. But it's okay, because God's got this. Amen. So now, get your bag out. First, we're going to talk about the call. All right? Like, I want you to reach in, and I want you to grab one of those Starbursts. Grab your little Starburst. See your Starburst? There should be a couple of them in there. A Starburst. Got your Starburst? Don't eat them yet. Just hold on to them. You can eat them after service, because you'll be eating a lot if you before we get through. Everybody got their Starburst? Everybody got their Starburst? It's a little square. Little square. It's fruit-flavored Starburst. Every man in this church has a call on their life. Every man. And what is that call? Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Here it is. Watch this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed him, and God said to him, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So now, what's your call? Number one call above being fruitful and multiply is, number one, is fellowship. God created us for fellowship. God said, what are you already here for? We're here for fellowship with God. The angels cannot provide fellowship with God. They do what they are told to do. We're the only ones of free will, and God created us so he could have fellowship with man. And in the garden, the biggest sin in the garden was actually when man broke fellowship with God, with sin. But the next call is reproduction. You say, wait a minute, I don't have any children. Maybe I can't have children. Hold on, I'm not through yet. Reproduction. First, reproduce your family. Keep on going. Have kids and let them have kids and let them have kids. But not only do you have to reproduce your family, we're also called to reproduce his family. Reproducing my family requires that either I procreate or, like with Bethany, I adopt. But his family, I fruitfully multiply as I spread God's word, spread God's love, give an example for people to see. And when I'm fruitful, guess what? People multiply. I remember the greatest thing I can really think of was when I was at Procter & Gamble and I was getting ready to leave. I was leaving to go into the full-time ministry. And the night that I was leaving on second shift, I'm getting ready to leave, and my boss man came up to me and he told me something. I never really tried to. I knew he had been an atheist, and people told me, said, leave him alone. He's an atheist. He don't want to hear it. So I said, well, God, let me shine. Just let me shine in his eyes. Let me put some light in his eyes. And I remember that night he came up to me and pulled me to the side. And he said, David, I just got to tell you something. I said, why didn't you tell me, Ralph? He said, I was an atheist until you come to work with me. He said, and I've watched you over the years. And he said, just watching you, not something you said, just watching you led me to believe that there is a God. And I want to thank you because of your witness. I now believe that there is a God and there is a heaven, and we need to get right with God. So I never even said a word to him. It's just my life in front of him, turning atheist around. So again, be fruitful and multiply. So just, I'm not going to be long today, I promise, because I don't want, how long will it last? So I'm going to go ahead and get before I don't last anymore. Here you go. The second one is care. Now, when you get a care, I need you to reach in and get your payday. It's not a check, it's a candy bar. Everybody got their payday? Everybody got their payday? All right, get ready. Look, 1 Timothy 5:8, New Living Translation, but those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers. So let me tell you something. If you're going to raise a child, it's going to cost you something. Amen? Not only is it going to physically cost you, not only is it monetarily going to cost you, it's going to cost you sleep, it's going to cost you all kinds of things. You're going to wind up finding out things that you had to do you thought you would never do, and the things you said you would never do, you wind up doing. But look, let me tell you something. I tell people this all the time. While your children are your children, you are responsible for them. Okay? When your children are children, you are responsible for them. Now, I found out some North Carolina law. Listen to this North Carolina law. Your elderly parents, listen to this now. Your elderly parents, believe it or not, you're responsible for them. The children are responsible for them. So think about that. That's some tough stuff. But look, so your children, you're responsible for them. But when they are grown, you're responsible to them. There's a difference. When they're in the house, you're responsible for them. You've got to make sure things are done right. You've got to keep things going. But once they get older, you're responsible to them, meaning you're there to help them, to guide them, to assist them in all kinds of ways. And the problem in our society is some people have got that mixed up. And they got their adult children they're still responsible for. It's causing all kinds of problems in this world. Amen? Okay, so I'm going to leave that alone. So, remember, payday. But I promise you, whatever you pay out is going to come back to you because God's going to bless you. Amen? And it's cool. You get this is a good, sweet lesson. All right, now, coach, now I need you to reach in and find a balloon. You You got your balloon? Don't blow it up, because I know what you're going to want to do. Every time I get a balloon, here's what I want to do. Watch. So only 20 guys doing that, okay? All right. So watch this. Coach, watch this. Ready? Train up a child in the way he shall go, and in keeping with his individual gift or bent, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, a lot of times people think they're talking about just discipline. Nope. What this is talking about is finding a child's strengths and weaknesses. When you find their weaknesses, what we do is a lot of times we find the child's weaknesses and we beat them to death trying to get their weaknesses, trying to make them fix their weakness, and don't realize the more we try to get them to fix that weakness, the more frustrated they're going to be. But if we can find their strength, and this is what this is talking about, find what they're bent, B-E-N-T, they're bent. If you'll feed that bent, they won't be frustrated, but they'll be fulfilled. Okay, so you got to find it with D.C. and Daniel. Of course, D.C. was very easy early on because I was a musician. D.C. wanted to be a musician. I could tell it. I saw it. And so, and Daniel would be musicians. They were good. So they were very good at music, and they were very good at sports. And so what did I do? I got the stuff in their hands, and I sat down with them, and we played all the time, and we practiced on how to play by ear, and we practiced on how to pick songs out and how to pick it out, you know. And so we did it every night. And so I found what they were good at, and even with, and once you find it, you got to focus on it. And same with the way with sports, we would go out, and I would play ball with them all the time and play football. I did find out there was one thing I tried to teach them they weren't listening too good to. I was trying to teach them how to play chess. And DC and Daniel said, "Daddy, we got this now. We're chess masters." I said, "You can't even beat me." "That's okay, Dad. We got this." And so at Johnston Community College, they had a junior chess tournament at the community college one Saturday. And it was double elimination, free of charge. You can come in. You can play all the guys in the county. And so DC and Daniel said, "Daddy, we're going in there. We're going to get us some trophies." I said, And they said, "No, Dad, we got this." I said, They said, "No, Dad, we got it." They said, "It's double elimination. We'll be there. We're going to pack some lunch. We might be there for quite some time till we win the tournament." I said, "Okay." And so I put them out at the door, and I said, "Let me go find a parking space because cars are everywhere." By the time I found a parking space, they were back outside. And I said, "Wouldn't they let you in?" They said, "We've already been in, Dad." I said, "Well, why are you back out here?" They said, "Because we lost." I said, "But you were double eliminated." They said, "We were." Yeah. So much for that one. Stick with the guitar, DC. But you focus on what they're good at, their strengths, and you feed their strengths. Amen? If your child is a good speaker, then feed it to them. If they're good at sports, feed it to them. If they're good at helping people, feed it to them. DC and Daniel, they watch me as I help people. And now, right now, they just blow me away sometimes watching how they help people. But see, begin focused on their strengths, not their weaknesses. Because I promise you, everybody in here has got a weakness. And if you focus on that weakness solely, number one, you're going to miss out because you're not going to grow your strength. And number two is you're going to stay frustrated because at the most, this is a fact, a proven fact. At the most, if you focus on your weaknesses, true weaknesses, you may get 10% better. You may get 20% better, but you're never going to get 100% better. But if you focus on your strengths, you will become 100 times 100 times 100 better. So focus on your strength. That's what it's talking about. Train a child in the way it shall go, finding his individual gift or his bent. And when he's old, he will not depart from it, meaning that he's going to keep on and he's going to wind up doing better and better and better. So that was we got to invest in our children. We got to breathe life into them. I'm going to let everybody do it one time because you want to. Let's breathe some life into our kids. Ready? Now, go ahead and do it because you want to. I know y'all want to. Aren't y'all enjoying that? I told you this would be enjoyable. All right. Now the next. Get ready for the next. Let's see. Get ready. All right. Reach inside. Reach inside and get the red hot. Get the red hot. Now we're going to talk about discipline. Training a child where it should go was not about discipline. It was about giving your child the ability to flourish in their life. And part of that's teaching them about God too. Now, here we go. Proverbs 8:19-18 says, correct a child while there is still hope. Do not let them destroy themselves. I've been around a lot of children in my life as a pastor, as a parent, as an uncle, even as a substitute teacher. And one thing I have discovered, you never had to teach a child to be bad. You had to teach them to be good. Human nature. Human nature. So watch this. Correct your children while there's still hope, meaning before they get so far out there you can't correct them anymore. Do not let them destroy themselves. So watch this. This is why I got the red hot. It's hot, but it's sweet. Okay? I promise you. You know, I was talking to somebody one day, and I said, and DC and Daniel were standing there, and I told that guy, I said, boy, he was driving me crazy. And I said, boy, have you ever been whooped by a preacher? And my son, both sons said, we have, and it's not pleasant. You better listen. Ready? Sweet and hot. Now watch this. Discipline comes from the same root word as disciple. Here's where we get all mixed up. When you talk about discipline, we think you just got to beat somebody to death. You're just all negative, negative, negative. No. Discipline is positive and negative. Amen? Discipline is much more than positive and punishment. Discipline is love in action. If you discipline your child, it says if you love that child, you will discipline that child. You will disciple that child. All right? So this is good stuff. This stuff's all in the bag. This is cool. See, Fathership 101, it's in the bag. All right. Now, go ahead. You're going to want to do this too. So go ahead and get out. Get your noisemaker out. Go ahead and blow it one time. Matter of fact, y'all, look, y'all, we got to be creative. Look, look. We're going to go outside. There's going to be a bunch of geese sitting out there waiting for them, going, Mama! Mama! All right. Well, I'll put it in my pocket. I was looking for the remote. All right. Celebrate. So now watch this. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. You know, I've been discouraged before. You know, I remember hearing this story. I thought about this story. Guys, have you ever felt like this? The kids have talked mom into buying a hamster. They promised to take care of their pet, whom they named Danny. Within 2 months, though, mom was taking care of Danny. So one day, mom decided enough was enough. Danny would be given to a new owner. She called the kids together to tell them. One child said, but I'll miss him. He's been around a long time. The other child remarked, but maybe he could stay if he ate less and wasn't so messy. Mom was firm. It's time to take Danny to a new home. Danny, the kids, well, we thought you said daddy. Learn to celebrate with your children. So watch this. You got to learn to be light. If everything's heavy, you know, I can usually tell when a child has lived in a house that was all tough discipline, military style. They were just beat to a pulp constantly. They weren't allowed to be a child. They weren't allowed to let their hair down. And you can watch. You can see it. You can see it. You can tell it. And usually that person becomes a non-forgiving adult. It's an adult who winds up here. Everything's got to be just right, and if it's not right, they get upset with you. And you know people like that right now. That, you know, they're always, it's got to be right to the T, and it's got to be right. And if it's not right, they get all upset with you and even get an attitude. Usually it's because their family never knew how to be light. It's because their family didn't know how to lighten up, and let's have some fun. You know, so learn to be light and learn to laugh. Okay, have some fun. You know, and then finally, watch this, linger. Learn how to just spend time with your family doing something other than disciplining them. Amen. And one of the biggest things I hated for my wife to do when DC and Danny were little was, you wait till your daddy gets home. You wait till your daddy gets home. And I come in the house all ready to play with my boys and they're running and hiding from me. Why are y'all hiding from me? Because mama told us you were going to beat the living daylights out of us when you got home. I ain't even, I'm not, y'all just had a trial and the jury has done pronounced the sentence and the judge has done give sentence and now I'm coming to him, the executioner? No! Learn to linger and have some fun. I fished more with DC and Dan. And I remember when we first moved to Benson, there was a pond, a couple of ponds about a mile from the house, and the man owned them and nobody could fish them except for his family. And he said, you're our family. You come out here and you fish. And I remember taking DC and Daniel out fishing. And I just got their fishing rods. They're out there. And I remember I'd paid a lot of money for some of the lures that I had. And so I put my lures on their line. I said, you got to be careful now because this is a pond. And you're going to get caught up on stumps and things. Oh, Dad, we know what we're doing. Well, the first night, they just lost all my stuff. And they were going, oh, Dad, we're sorry. I knew you'd never take us fishing again. We're sorry you'll never let it. And I said, will you please calm down? I said, Walmart sells them every day. I said, I'm here to have fun with my boys. If it's going to take me, I just buy cheaper lures. But if it's going to take me a bunch of lures to get y'all to learn how to fish, then that's what we're going to do. And so for the first month, I didn't even fish. I let them fish until I learned that they weren't going to lose all my lures. Then I started fishing. Amen. You know, look, the things that your husband or dad might say, the top five things that a husband may say. Number five, yes and no are perfectly acceptable answers to almost every question. Number four, listen wisely. Ladies, hear me out. Anything we said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all past comments become null and void after 7 days. Number three, if something we said can be interpreted two ways and one of the ways makes you sad or angry, we meant the other one. Number two, if we ask what is wrong and you say nothing, we will act like nothing's wrong. We know you're lying, but it's just not worth the hassle. And number one, and this all counts except for me and Benny. All men see in only 16 colors, like wind of default settings. Peach, for example, is a fruit, not a color. Pumpkin is also a fruit, not a color. And I have no idea what mauve is. Me and Benny are all riding down the road one day and there's all of us going to the prison. Somebody said, what color is that? And they asked Benny, and Benny says, I'm not sure. What do you think, David? You asked the two colorblind guys, what color that is. Yeah, that was really good. But now, here's the top 10 serious list. This is top 10 serious. Talking about lingering. They surveyed some elementary school students about what they appreciated about their dad. Number one, he takes time with me. Number two, he listens to me. Number three, he plays with me. Number four, he invites me to go places with him at least once. He lets me help him. Number six, he treats my mama well. Number seven, he lets me say what I'm thinking. Number eight, he's nice to my friends. Number 9, he only punishes me when I deserve it. And number 10, he's not afraid to admit when he is wrong. You know what a good spouse is? Is one that she will accept your apology when she's wrong. Okay. A few years ago, y'all remember Ken Griffey Jr.? Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr., two of the greatest baseball players there were. A few years ago, Ken Griffey Jr. chose not to attend the Players' Choice Awards. That's a big deal. He was going to receive Player of the Decade. Player of the Decade. Not just for a game, the decade. Junior beat out three other MVP winners, Barry Bonds, four-time Cy Young winner, Greg Maddux, for the honor. So he beats out Barry Bonds and Greg Maddux. The award's a big deal. He joined the ranks of baseball greats like Wagner and Cobb and Ruth and Fox and Williams and Mantle and Mays and Rose and Schmitz. Why didn't he go? His five-year-old son had a baseball game that night, his first, and Junior didn't want to miss it. Wow. Linger. It's one thing to tell your kids that you love them, but linger. Have some fun with them. Have a lot of fun with them. I can honestly say me and my boys have had a lot of fun over the years. But he used to drive his mama crazy and Bethany crazy because we'd be in there at night. We'd move from the church to the house and we'd be playing our guitars and we'd learn how to sing harmony and learn how to play. And they'd holler, "This is not a honky tonk. Cut it down. It's time to go to sleep." And I said, "We got a couple more courses." She said, "You sang your last song tonight." Amen. The next song that's going to be played is the Death March. All right. Now reach in your bag. You got several of these. A Hershey Kiss. Got your Hershey Kiss? Compassion. Psalm 103 and 13 says, "Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." You see, fathers need to express love. I love my dad, and he was a wonderful dad, still is a wonderful dad. And I've got no complaints. Especially the biggest thing he's done in a lot that I just can't ever forget was when Bethany was in hospice. And I called him on Thursday night and said, "Bethany's in hospice, Dad." He said, "I'll be there tomorrow." And I said, "Well, you can take your time, Dad. They said they're not sure what's going on." He said, "I told you I'd be there tomorrow." And so Linda and I were going to take care of business, and we come up, and there was Dad. And he sat right there. That night, it was time for everybody to go home. And I said, "Dad, I'm going to stay here with Bethany like I've been doing. I got this chair. I'm going to sit by her in the chair, the reclining chair." They see Daniel going home. They went on home. I said, "Daddy, go get you some sleep." Daddy said, "I told you I'm not leaving." And so the nurse came in and made him a bed out of the couch. The next morning, I said, "Daddy, you're awful tired." I said, "You need to go home and get some sleep." He said, "Bud, I done told you I'm not leaving." Bethany, we did not know it was going to happen. Bethany died that afternoon. Where was my dad? Right there. Because he told me, "Son, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here till the end." So that meant a lot. That showed me love. Now, I was probably, my mama told me she loved me all the time, but Daddy wasn't raised that way. I don't remember hearing Daddy say, "I love you," till I was about 25 and I'd gotten saved. And I said, "You know what? This has gotten to end." So I just started telling him all the time, "I love you, I love you, Dad, I love you, I love you, I love you." And eventually he would go, "Yeah, I love you too." But now, when I called him, Before I get a chance to tell him, he said, I love you, buddy. And when I had COVID, he called me every day and he said, I just love you, buddy, and I want to make sure you're okay. So that meant a lot coming from my dad, because it's very special for my dad to say that. So remember, dads, we need to embrace our children. Not only embrace our children, hug them. My boys, I hug them so much. My grandchildren, I hug them, you know, all the time. Of course, the grandyoungers are getting too big now. The only person that'll let me hold her hand when we walk in Walmart is Anna Lane. And every chance she gets, she says, Papa, I got to hold this. She's getting too big to hold Papa's hand. I think it's great. I get in the parking lot, you better hold my hand, girl. She goes, okay, Papa, I'll hold your hand. And enrich them. Tell them that you love them. Don't assume they understand that you love them. Be compassionate. Tell them, I love you. I love you. I love you. This morning when I sent Happy Father's Day to DC and Daniel, I told them I loved them. They sent it right back and said, we love you too, Dad. I tell them they're a good dad. I said, you really are a good dad. And they'll send back something like, that's because we had a very good example to follow. Amen. Love your children. Let them hear it from your mouth. Let them see it in action and put your arms around them. Children need to feel that. If children can feel that, they can do anything. But they've got to feel that you love them. And then finally, reach in there and get your lifesaver out. I didn't say lightsaber. Some of y'all got all happy. Thought you had a lightsaber. Do you know what your children are doing every day? They're copying you. You might not realize it. They're copying you. I remember one day DC was walking funny. He was walking like this. I said, DC, quit walking on your tiptoes, son. You look like you got something stuck up your rear. Quit. And I said, DC, stop walking like that, son. So one day he's in church, he's going. And I went, and I looked over at Bittiger Gaines, and she said, look at him walk. And I said, I know, I've been trying to teach him different. She said, he looked just like your daddy. I was at Fountain one day, and one of the engineers, I was up in our perch where we could see down. And you could see all the way across the plant. You could see people walking. And I sent one of the engineers to go take care of something. And I looked out, and you see him walking, and he's going. Rolled down the window, he's going, you're looking good. I know you can't help it. You're looking good. Your children and some of your coworkers copy you. So make sure they're going to copy something that's good. Amen. Make sure you tell your children, and your children tell their children, and their children their children. Joel 1:3. Don't let this message die out. The first person's life you save is your child's. I can promise you 99% of the inmates I talk to are a product of a child with a product of a house either without a dad, and especially the heroin addicts. They're either a product of a house without a dad, or their dad used them to smuggle drugs. Their dad used them as a mule. And they watched their dad beat their mother and take them and pull them out and put drugs in their hand and make them go out and get the drugs to wherever. Dads are very important. Very, very, very important. So, you got to plant something good in them. Plant it all the time. Tell them how good they can be. Tell them they're good. Tell them they're wonderful. Tell them that they're your child and you love them and you're there for them. And nothing can change that. And not only that, but you water it too, because you just keep on telling them and you're there for them and you're doing it for them. And not only do you water, I promise you, if you keep watering it, one day there's going to come a harvest. And when that harvest takes place, it reseeds. DC would be upset with me if I told this. He's not here, so he can't. I can look out. He can't frown at me. DC had his business, and he had a young man that had not done the best of things, and he was having problems, and he had a pregnant wife. And so there were some problems with the air conditioner. And so here he was, couldn't get his air conditioner fixed, and it was busted. I mean, busted to where it didn't need fixing, it needed replacing. And so I remember this, and it got to me, is without being asked, without being told, DC went and got two window units, one for her bedroom and one for her living room for that pregnant wife. And on the way, he stopped by Food Lion and picked up groceries. Without being asked. He didn't have to pay for it. Nothing. He did, but I'm talking about the guy didn't. Put air conditioners in the window. Gave him groceries. And walked away. And I see things like that. And I say, DC, that was quite amazing. You know, and that was really love and action. He said, where do you think I got that from, Dad? You see, that's when you know you planted and you watered and there is a harvest and now there's reseeding. He's not here today because, again, he's a low man. He says he's a low man on the totem pole, and they keep making him work these extra hours. Nobody else was there. But he's a paramedic for the county, Beaufort County. And whenever I think about him being a paramedic, I remember as kids, they'd get in the car, and I said, Daddy, tell us about when you were an EMT, and tell us about when you were in the fire department. Tell us about this. Tell us about this. And every time we get in the car, I bet I told them some of them stories 100 times. He kept wanting to hear these stories. And then D.C. was on Main Street a couple of years ago. There was a humongous fire, a big 5-story building engulfed in flames. And D.C.'s out there. And a guy comes up to him and says, isn't this crazy? And he says, what do you mean? He said, I was out here 40 years ago, just a little further down, on a cold night, when I first started firefighting. And he said, I sat on Main Street with your dad as he sat on that tractor seat and held that 2.5-inch hose on that building in the cold for over an hour. He says, now I'm with his son. And DC called me up and said, Dad, that was so powerful. And DC didn't realize it was powerful to him, but it was more powerful to me because I realized I planted, I watered, there's a harvest, and there's a reseed. Let me ask you a question. Let me tell you something. I'm getting ready to close. How many perfect dads have we gotten here? Do not raise a hand. If you raise a hand, I'm going to say that's your first problem is you're a big liar. Fatherhood is not a job. It's like the Navy. Fatherhood is not a job. It's an adventure. This is just me. I'm pretty sure y'all been there and know what I'm talking about. I can truly say, along with the rest of you in here, I didn't always get it right. I did a lot of OJT. I did it when I was tired, when I was broke, when I was sick, when I was blind, had no idea what I was doing. Anybody here can testify to that as a father? But I would always give it my best. And these fathers in here, y'all, they might not have been perfect. Some of the things they were just learning. But I promise you, they give it their best. Fatherhood, to me, has been one of my greatest blessings. God is awesome. Let's all stand. All right, dads, I want you to put your hands in the air. All right, guys, while everybody, while all the dads got their hands in the air, take their bag. All the fathers, put your hands in the air. All right. Ladies, if your person's right beside you, if your husband's there or your dad's there, put your hand on them. I'm going to pray and I want you to repeat after me. I want everybody to repeat this. Father, I'm here and I'm ready. I've done it before and I'm going to do it again. I will not stop. You've called me to be a difference maker. Whether it's my child or somebody else's, I will make a difference. And I thank you for all that you've done. And I ask you right now to give us wisdom and to give us strength. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. God is so, so awesome. I want y'all to go out. See, we even got out early. We ain't out yet, though. Yeah, I think the other day I was telling somebody, I said, look what time it is. And we ain't messed up yet. And they said, well, the evening's still early. All right. Dads, go out and do what you do best. Let's be a dad. You're not perfect. If you think you are, then it's gonna put a lot of stress on you. Remember, you don't go to your weaknesses. You play to your strengths. So play to your strengths. And one of your strengths is being a dad. Play to your strengths. And know that, and everybody know that we're not perfect at all, but we're giving our best. I can always tell that my boys, yeah, I might not have been perfect. Matter of fact, I remember this, I'm going to close. I was coaching Daniel's school football team. God opened the doors, I was coaching school ball, not just rec ball, school ball. I was a defensive coach. And that whole line, everybody on that line, their dads owned businesses. But me. And they're sitting down there, and I happened to come up on them. And when I come up on them, they were sitting down resting. I come up on them. And Daniel was looking at the fancy cleats, the really, really expensive cleats. And he said, I really wish I could get some cleats like that. And he said, y'all are just blessed. Your daddy's own businesses. Y'all had the most expensive gloves. You got the most expensive equipment. You got this, this, and this. And they looked over at him, every last one of them, and said, Daniel, we don't want this. We want what you got. And Daniel said, what's that? He said, I'm wearing, you know, Walmart stuff. They said, no, Daniel, you don't understand. He said, whose dad's out here helping us and coaching us? And said, we'd give anything to have our dads spend some time with us and come on the field and coach with us. That was the last time Daniel ever complained about that situation. Hey, we ain't got to be perfect. Just be there. Amen. I'm going to cover my face up, not because I don't want to hide all the pretty,